New ideas, thought-leading opinions, and the latest ways of working. This is the School Leadership Podcast.
Hello, and it's a very warm welcome to the latest episode of the School Leadership Podcast, brought to you by NAHT and NAHT Edge. In recent times, of course, we've got used to seeing school leaders, teachers and pupils becoming unexpected stars of the small screen, with documentaries like Educating Essex and Educating Manchester, which have proven to be unexpected ratings winners and have given viewers an insight into modern-day schooling along the way. Well, in this episode of the podcast, you'll be hearing about one particular school community in London that may just be about to find itself becoming the star of the big screen as we speak to the makers of a new film, H is for Harry.
Engaging content and revealing insights. In conversation with James Bowen.
H is for Harry is a coming-of-age story about Harry, a charismatic 11-year-old boy who arrives at secondary school in suburban London, unable to read or write. With the help of Sophie, his extremely dedicated teacher, and the unfailing support of his father, he struggles to overcome the illiteracy ingrained across generations of his family. To hear more about the film, James met with directors Edward Owls and Jamie Taylor, and the head teacher of the school where the film was made, Ed Vainker. James began by asking Edward and Jamie how the project came about.
Jamie and I have worked together for a long time as filmmakers, for about 10 years, since Jamie stopped being a teacher, actually. And we'd worked with our company in education a lot, whether that be making more sort of what you might expect, communication pieces for schools that wanted to attract pupils, but also pedagogy, internal research films where they were seeking to sort of highlight best practice and that sort of thing. So we talked to lots of people about educational issues across the years and heard lots of people speak in lots of different ways, very passionately about things. And gradually had thought what we would really like to do is flip it and tell a story from a child's point of view that explored some of the issues that people were trying to address, such as educational disadvantage. And so Jamie and I were coming at it from that direction. The producer of the film, and I then went away and met the great and the good of education and sort of came to a similar conclusion. We met all sorts of different people, from academics to policymakers, and we found that everyone has an opinion, as you will be well aware. But again, if we decided not to make the kind of film. We knew we wanted to make a film, but we decided not to make the kind of film that was lots of adults talking about their opinions, and to actually flip it and try and do something bottom-up that showed observationally an experience in school from a kid's point of view. Personally, that comes slightly from my background in anthropology, which is sort of having this ethnographic approach. So then Jamie and I talked a lot about where we could do that and how we could do it. And again, there were a few ideas around. But we knew about Reach Academy. We knew it was a almost brand new school, and the fact that it was trying to, it had very deliberately set up in an area that it thought had where it could make a difference, meant that it, as a filmmaker, we're interested in narrative. There's an immediate sort of dramatic conflict that is interesting, and then we can explore some of the issues that we're interested in.
And you've hinted at it there, I guess, but a question at this point is, you know, could you talk a bit about the premise of the film without giving too much away, without too many spoilers, because, you know, obviously people, you want people to go and watch it, but what's the film fundamentally about? Perhaps you could just tell us a bit more about that.
So it's about a boy called Harry, hence the title, H is for Harry. He is in his first year of secondary school, and he starts secondary school unable to read and write. So I think he's got the reading age of a four-year-old when he first starts. And you discover quite quickly that he's the third generation in his family who this applies to. His dad and granddad can't read and write either. And so we follow him and his peers during the first year. And I guess it was interesting to us to look at that first year of secondary school, that transitionary period, which is such a key pivotal time for children anyway, but especially somebody in his situation. So we wanted to ask, to what extent a school can make a difference at that point is 11 too late. But we did actually start the film not knowing we were going to make it about Harry. Like Ed said, we knew we wanted to make a film that was about a child's experience, a child's point of view in school and looking at educational inequality. But we approached it very openly. We knew that we wanted to film something quite observationally and very much from the children's perspective rather than the teachers, which is why in the film you don't hear a lot from the teachers apart from through their interactions with the children. And that was kind of one of the rules we set ourselves throughout. And so initially we alighted on the class. We were really lucky with Reach when we first got here that they were quite open and trusting because they knew, I think, we guaranteed from the start that we would be very collaborative and we would talk about the process and, you know, we'd have points, for example, after the first half term where we had a look at some of the scenes we'd filmed and talked about some of the themes that were emerging and some of the things that would interest us. But right up until the edit period, I think it's fair to say, we thought that we were going to focus on three or four children. And as we went through hundreds of hours of material, we realised that actually Harry's story was really... We knew it was an important story, but we felt that that was the story that we should tell and we should dedicate pretty much the film to that. Obviously, the children come in and out of it, but that was the main story for us to tell, I think, that we felt.
And Ed, you're the executive head here. How nervous were you about allowing a film crew into the school? It must have felt like a bit of a risk opening up the school doors and giving them that kind of access, or maybe not.
I think the nervousness I had was about our pupils and our families and our teachers in terms of making sure that something would be made that was sensitive and kind of not exploitative. So I think I had a lot of confidence. So I think that was the big question. It was obvious that Ed and Jamie weren't interested in making a kind of a sensationalist sort of voiceovered sort of piece. And so I think my nervousness all the way through, right up until when I saw the film, and to be honest, still now, is how will our community experience being featured in this film? And I know that that's been something that's been really important to Ed and Jamie as well, that they have built such a strong relationship with Harry and his dad particularly, but also all of the other pupils and the teachers who feature, because it's a, you know, again, not to give too much away, but it's a challenging story, and it's one which I think we, to their point, we didn't know at the beginning where it was going to go. So there was a lot of trust involved, and I think that the trust was about how our pupils and how our community would be featured in the film, more than it was about the reputational risk, if you know what I mean.
And could you perhaps tell us a bit more about Harry from your perspective? We already sort of talked about him being, if you like, the centre of this film. Perhaps for those, you know, listening, who is Harry and how did he come to join you at the school?
Yeah, I think it's tricky. And I've avoided saying too much about him. And I think it's important that the film is about Harry on one level, but it's also about young people like Harry all around the country. And I think it's important. I'm sort of very conscious of him personally and his dad. I think he was a pupil who had a really hard time at school up until he joined us in year seven. He had been in a specialist provision. He had really struggled, and his dad had hugely advocated for him to all the way through, and particularly in that secondary transfer, had pushed very, very hard for him to be able to go to a mainstream school, largely because of his own experience and his lack of success that he'd experienced in school. And so when we met Harry and Grant, what was incredibly powerful was Grant's commitment and his desire to make sure that his son had the very, very best experience that he could. And I think that's what we all feel about our own children. You know, we want them to have a better life than we had. And I think it was really powerful to see that in Grant. And so we were delighted to kind of welcome Harry into the school. And it's also why we set up the school. You know, we wanted to serve a community where it was truly comprehensive, where there was a real range of prior experiences, and so it was great to have him start. And And he made a huge amount of progress, particularly in his first year in the school, and he learned to read, which was incredibly powerful. And we have sustained a relationship with him kind of all the way through to now, which is really positive.
And Ed's spoken there about Harry's father, who is in the film a lot. I wonder how much, you know, time you thought about making that relationship between Harry and his father a key part of the film, because it really is one of the kind of the driving narratives, I would say, right the way through it.
I think two things really. The approach with Reach is very much to have a relationship with parents that goes beyond just having the odd parents evening. You know, they're here a lot, and so we met Grant very early on. And so, you know, the fact that you see him in the school quite a bit in the film is just a reflection of what we were filming, you know, and obviously we focused on Harry's story, so other parents were coming in at the same time. But Grant was really key to us because he does give context. You know, I think it's really important to remember that, you know, Grant was Harry once, and now he's the adult, you know, but they're very similar as people anyway. But, you know, Harry lives in a home where there are no books, and there are no newspapers, and his dad lived in that home as well. And, you know, I think just seeing that and just understanding that relationship kind of gave a lot of context to the film.
And there's a part, isn't it, in the film where his dad's on camera and he says, history really does repeat itself.
Yeah.
Which is quite a poignant moment, isn't it? I mean,
yeah. I mean, his dad's really determined to break that cycle as well, and that was really striking. And he's just a fantastic character, you know. People seem to be really drawn to him. You know, everyone always really wants to talk about him when they've seen the film as well.
And partly that's because it's a voice that isn't heard.
You know, yeah.
His voice is not one, you know, where everyone's giving their opinion about the world today and this and that, but you don't hear people like Grant, I think, and that feels to me really striking.
Which, yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's one of the reasons we're in filmmaking. I think that's one of the things that you can do, and it's an amazing opportunity to give people the opportunity to have their voice heard. Sounds a bit cheesy, but you know, we've seen it work on a number of occasions.
And there are other voices, aren't there? I know the film, as you say, is focused around Harry, but other pupils are featured in the film as well. Perhaps you can say a bit more about some of those other pupils that you explore in the film.
Yeah, so as Jamie mentioned, we chose one of the classes in year seven, and over the year, we got to know some of the students better than others, as you'd expect. And we were trying to end up with a film where we interwove various stories so that there was as much of a tapestry as possible, albeit with the caveat that eventually we decided Harry's would be more dominant than we'd first expected. So you also see particularly a young girl called Anna, who is from Eastern Europe and lives in a very crowded house, but it's very bright, a lot further ahead than Harry is when she arrives at the school. And I guess just from a narrative point of view, it was useful to have her as a counterweight, facing different issues, but also a different level of achievement when she started. And then you see Harry is in a specialist English group for the four boys who are most behind at the start of year seven. So inevitably we see those four boys a lot, and they progress at different rates as well. They start from different points, but they progress at different rates, and the two of them particularly do very well.
Every single episode as it comes out, just click on subscribe.
NAHT Edge is a new type of teaching union aimed specifically at teachers with leadership responsibilities. As a member of NAHT Edge, you'll benefit from access to a wealth of leadership resources, practical advice and support with your own career development. You can also watch our new series of bite-sized CPD videos on the NAHT Edge website. Membership is just £13.50 a month or £8.10 if you're part-time. Head over to our website to find out more.
For regular and useful content on the teaching profession, it has to be the School Leadership Podcast. The School Leadership.
Leadership Podcast.
Let's get back to the second part of our conversation with the team behind the film H is for Harry.
So from a filmmaker perspective, what are you hoping to achieve from the film, other than I assume you want lots of people to go and see it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's always nice. And we've made the film in a very, very deliberately, we made it independently, so not for broadcast, so that we had more editorial freedom. Which means that when you come to distributing it, you're trying to create, you're making it yourself, basically. So we've got screenings around the country in various different cinemas. And we're hopeful that it won't just reach the kind of people who go to art house cinemas, and that also there will be lots of local screenings where it can be debated and raise the questions we want it to raise in communities that it might not that it might not have reached otherwise. We found that everyone who comes to the film, you know, inevitably has stuff they focus on, so people will take different bits to debate away from it, whether that's literacy or social mobility, education disadvantage. I think if we were to pin it down to one thing, we really hope that people will talk and think about early intervention and the difference that can make. Certainly with many of the organisations we've spoken to, that's where the film seems to have real resonance, because they have the stories of children who start off and start off in similar situations to Harry's and end up at Oxford University, the sort of one in a million stories. But hopefully we've done something a bit more nuanced and complex, but also representative of a group that are not as heard as much with this film. And that speaks to this whole debate around early intervention and what difference it can make to kids like Harry if you're able to do certain things early on in their life.
Yeah, I think just to add to that as well, sometimes after the screenings we've had so far, because the film's largely observational, people ask a lot of questions in Q&As about context. So tell us more about Harry, and, you know, can you tell us a bit more about this element of his life, and what about this? And, you know, when you're filming mainly observationally, that those things don't always come up unless you capture somebody talking about it. But for us, it was really important to make a film that is... that people's takeaway from it is not that this is just a story about a boy called Harry who's got his very specific set of circumstances and that's why he's in this position. It is actually for people to think about how this is a systemic issue as well, and that, you know, literacy is a problem for children in this country and adults in this country beyond Harry, you know. So apparently a quarter of children finish primary school unable to read and write particularly well. You know, there's lots of stats that reflect how there's an issue there. So that was something as well that I hope people would take away from it.
Yeah, and as filmmakers, it can be dismissed, I guess, but we think that the power of empathy is a really good tool. We've made this in a way that shows Harry's point of view, with the hope that the people who see it, who might end up making decisions or contributing to the debate in a more powerful way than we might be able to, will take something from his story and it will inform how they think or speak, which is quite easy to be cynical about, but actually in some of our other work we've seen real evidence of that work, that happening. When you've made a film told from the bottom up, it can influence policymakers in quite an interesting way. So we are also hoping to have a screening in Westminster, and we're doing all sorts of things with relevant organisations like the National Literacy Trust and Teach First, hopefully, those sort of people.
So let's broaden the discussion a bit and pick up some of those themes. I'm interested, Ed, in your perspective as a school leader, in terms of how well do you feel that the current system, let's say the current SEND system, serves pupils such as Harry?
So I think the challenge here. So one kind of, when I was 19, I thought one day, you know, maybe I'd want to go into policy, and, you know, I thought, you know, I know lots of stuff, like I've done some reading, and my kind of professional career has been becoming increasingly convinced that I never want to do that, and I never want to have that responsibility, because especially in education, where it's so much about people the school leader, the leaders, the teachers, and the pupils and the families. And I think, to me, the reality around SEND and around inclusion is incredibly complicated and incredibly nuanced. And for some pupils, the system is working really well. And I think the desire to have young people, the desire societally for a comprehensive system is the right driver. Like, it is important that young people meet and work with and are educated with and are friends with people different to them in all sorts of different ways. And so in general, I think, you know, the system should be as inclusive as it can be. The reality is that for certain young people at certain times in their life, the complexity of their need and their prior experience and all of that mean that it becomes really complicated. And, you know, the debate is then very, very polarized, when I think the reality is just very tricky. You know, Harry is representative in a lot of ways of other young people, but he also has a particular set of experiences and circumstances that has brought him to where he is, which are totally unique. And so I think I find it very hard to speak in general terms about the system when everyone's experience is so different, if that's not a cop-out of an answer.
No, it's fine. And one of the things, I guess it begins to come through the film, but I don't think it's focused on that much, is the issue around finances, resources, budget, that side of things. I mean, we've obviously spoken a lot at NAHT about budget cuts to schools, and we're particularly concerned around cuts to the high needs funding budget. How much of an impact do you think that's had for you as a school, for children like Harry, if at all?
I think for me, the story of our school is me starting as a secondary teacher and then wanting to set up an all-through school, and we have two-year-olds in our nursery here and we go right the way to 18. For me, that continuity, especially when we're talking about the most vulnerable pupils, the continuity that we're able to offer being an all-through school is really powerful. And this year is the first year that we won't be taking in a year seven cohort of the type that you see in the film, and it will be pupils coming through our primary. And I think we feel a lot more confident about our ability to support those most vulnerable pupils when they've been with us from reception or even from nursery. And now we're starting to work, you know, we're offering peer mentoring for new mums in Feltham and antenatal education free at the point of delivery for all of our parents, for all parents in Feltham. So we're even going younger than that. I think the budgets are a real challenge. I think for us, and I think this is true for most schools, they set the context, and the context is a challenging one. The reality is that schools do everything they can to support those individual pupils, and I think there are other constraints as well. And one of the key constraints for us is, you know, physically our building is very tight. And so when you have pupils who need that space away from the rest of their cohort, or they need some time to be on their own or to be in a smaller group, we really struggle to offer that in this space. And so I think the budget is one thing, but I think each school will also have other constraints, whether it's physical, whether it's a particular human resource in terms of expertise, that makes it harder to do this job, which is already a really hard job to support these young people. And it leads to schools feeling like, gosh, are we able to offer it the support? So I think the finance is one of a number of factors that creates that challenge for schools, which they do their very, very best to meet.
And as filmmakers, do you think you kind of learned anything about the system? I hate that phrase in some ways, but, you know, looking at it from slightly kind of a different vantage point, what did you learn about the way the system is set up to support pupils like Harry?
I mean, I found Jamie might have more to say on this, coming from a teaching background initially and then a pause and then back into a school. I know you found that really interesting, but I mean, I was just astounded by the amount of energy and time and hours that various different individuals in Reach were able to put in to Harry's education, fitting it around all sorts of other things they were dealing with. That was something I was really surprised and impressed by, and I'm not quite sure how all the people who were supporting him were able to fit it around their lives. I mean, the main character from a teaching point of view is Sophie in the film, who was class teacher, but also essentially one-to-one with Harry an awful lot of the time. I'm not sure if that's answering your question, but that's something I was... I genuinely, it's a cliche, but I don't know how she found the hours in the day to do that along with all the other stuff she had to do.
And actually, that's something, yeah, I noticed in the film that he does have a lot of adult time, pastoral care. Is that just a conscious decision you made as a school to invest heavily? I'm not just talking financially, but although investing in resources and, you know, teachers to be with him. Because it does come through very strongly, I would say.
Yeah, and I think especially we make a really big investment when our pupils start in secondary in English and in maths. And so Sophie's his English teacher, and we made a decision that she would really... She was only teaching year seven, which gave her time to then work with that small group of pupils as well, and to really focus on supporting them, because we felt like getting those pupils up to an academic level where they were able to access the rest of the curriculum was key to them being able to be included in the whole school, not just in those lessons, in terms of accessing other lessons with their literacy, but also feeling, having that sense of resilience and self-belief that they are able to be successful. So we did, and we continue to make big investments there, greater perhaps than the resources that are allocated in terms of the expectation.
And Sophie is now gone through the school with the same group of pupils, and we don't visit as much now, but it's amazing to see that relationship that she has because of the way the school operates, as they go on to A levels or whatever they decide to do. Was there anything else you were going to say?
No, I said that consistency is really great. You know, you see that relationship; it is amazing, and she's just a saint anyway. If you watch the film, you'll see.
Yeah. And also, I think the other thing was the sort of attitude, might be the wrong word, but the relationship that teachers have with pupils and their families is just so full of respect and compassion. I think that's quite different from a lot of the other schools or the system that we've seen. I'm not sure how representative my experience is, obviously, but that really struck me at Reach.
So then, final question for me then. Let's say you could wave a magic wand and you could improve something about the way schools or the system meet the needs of pupils, SEND, something we could do differently that you think would have a really positive impact on pupils like Harry. It might be something that you did for Harry that you'd like to replicate as something different. What would that wish be?
I think it would be great to identify pupils like Harry who are going to need additional support at the earliest possible point. So given the family that he was born into, if we could have been able to allocate resource to help right at the beginning in terms of helping him to develop his speech and sort of supporting his parents to build really strong attachment with him right from the start, I think he may have been someone who might have needed further support later in school, but I think it would have been possible to help him to be more successful all the way through, and sort of a system which was more responsive, A, in that kind of conception to aged four when they start mainstream school, but then also one that a system that was a bit more nimble in terms of being able to support pupils like Harry where they are, perhaps for a short period in a certain type of institution, then returning to their home institution, that kind of thing. I think would make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Early intervention was one thing I was going to say, as early as possible. I think one thing I really took away from working at Reach, having been a teacher myself, and like Ed said, we film in loads of different schools and different educational contexts, was that the relationship with parents was, it wasn't just token at all. Actually, it was seen as a really, really important integral part of the work that's done here, and having parents on board and understanding the child's process through the school, you know, was really great. But all of these things take resources. And for somebody like Harry and Grant, you know, who both have needs, they got a lot, I think, from having that relationship with the school. And inclusion is really, really important, you know, so it was great to see Harry in this setting, this context, and he thrived in many ways. But it shouldn't be at the expense. It shouldn't be seen as a money saving thing, inclusion. It really shouldn't be, you know. And so, it, you know, children like Harry should be, you know, the school should have as much financial support and resources as they need to be able to. That would be my dream, obviously, to, you know, to help them achieve what they need to achieve.
I suppose then the important question to ask you before finishing is, if people would like to see the film, so they've heard about it, they've listened to the podcast, it's going to pique their interest, how can they go about seeing it?
So we've got a cinema run that starts on the 7th of March, which is World Book Day, as I'm sure many teachers and head teachers will know. They're supporting us with the film, and so we've got a launch at, that's at Curzon Soho in London. But we have got the film screening and more being added to the list at cinemas around the country. So if people went to our website, hisforharry.com, that's right, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, then we've got a list on there and that's been added to, and you can, I think you can join a mailing list on there as well to be kept informed. Yeah. And you can organise screenings yourself as well.
A big leadership podcast thank you to our guests, Edward, Jamie and Ed. I'm sure you're very interested in seeing the film. And by the same token, if you want to host a screening of it yourself, you can go to the website www.hisforharry.com and that will give you all you need to know. Thanks very much for listening. To make sure that you get all the future podcasts from NAHT and NAHT Edge, make sure you subscribe on iTunes. We also welcome reviews. We would love to hear from you. NAHT is a professional association and union for school leaders. NAHT Edge is that part of our association aimed specifically at aspirational middle leaders. To discover more about the benefits of being an NAHT Edge or NAHT member, go online to nahtedge.org.uk/join or www.naht.org.uk/join. You can see our social media activity on Twitter with these accounts at NAHTEdge and at NAHTNews.
Your feedback and suggestions are always welcome. Our email is info@naht.org.uk.